Be Lowered Podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Devouring the Podcast. I am your host, David. I thank you for joining us once again. Hopefully you'll notice that the audio quality is a little bit better this time. Episode 1 was a bit of a rush job to get it done. I'd been putting it off for about a month and decided, damn it, it had to get done. And then proceeded to completely forget everything I learned about podcasting about 2 years ago. So fixed up the audio quite a little bit. We'll be getting a brand new microphone, probably going to get a headset mic with the built-in headphones and the whole schmageggy to make my life easier, because my desktop mic that I bought for $10 at Walmart doesn't seem to be working. So, this week's episode, I have a special soundtrack spotlight, which will be up next, followed up by the It Came From the Instant Queue review of the film Yellow Brick Road. And, of course, our feature presentation of Jack Ketchum's The Woman. So, stick around for that, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Devour the Podcast Soundtrack Spotlight.
Welcome to the first Soundtrack Spotlight. For this episode, I'm going to do a very special soundtrack that I'm quite infatuated with. I think it's a pretty awesome soundtrack. It's also one that I didn't know existed until very late last year. Well, but prefacing before we get to the soundtrack, this is actually not for a movie. It's actually for a novel. The novel is the John Skiff and Craig Spector book, The Bridge, which was released in 1991. And I'm going to go ahead and read the back of the book for you real quick so you have an idea of what this novel's about if you've never read it. Paradise is a small industrial city in Pennsylvania. It's about to become ground zero for the end of the world. For far too long, we've been poisoning the planet with toxic waste. Not anymore. This morning, something finally woke up in paradise. It's intelligent, virulent, and ambitious. It's everywhere. In the water we drink, the air we breathe, and it won't be satisfied until we're gone. This book was fucking amazing. I will give a full review of it after I reread it again. I read it, about 6 months ago, I think. And, I really loved it. It was a great book. Very different than what I expected it to be, because the back of the book, and I have the Leisure Fiction paperback with the blue cover, and it's called A Modern Classic of Environmental Terror. I really wasn't thinking I was going to enjoy it, because I was like, oh, this is probably not going to be very good. Environmental Terror, really? Eh. It just didn't sound like something I was going to enjoy. But Eric Pereira, very cool director of The Locals and the upcoming film American Girls. I posted up on Facebook one day. I was like, oh, I just finished this one novel I read. What should I read next? And he's like, oh, read The Bridge. You'll love it. I was like, okay, fine. Read it. Loved it. Couldn't put it down. So I was reading in a short story collection I have entitled Splatterpunks 2, Over the Edge, which is the sequel to the other collection of short stories entitled Splatterpunks. They are a extreme horror collection. Very, very excellent writing all in both books. Some of the stories are hit or miss, but for the most part, excellent work. And there's an essay in Splatterpunks 2 about music, or the comparison of the heavy metal music scene and the splatterpunk movement of the 80s, early 90s. And the author mentions that Skip and Spector created a soundtrack album for The Bridge. And I thought, wow, that sounds really awesome. I wonder if I can find that somewhere. So I then spent, I think, God, maybe a week or so searching online trying to find this thing. I found it on Amazon. Unfortunately, it is the only used copies, and they were a little bit expensive. I did find it, however, on YouTube. And I will be posting the YouTube link in the show notes so you can check out the album. And what you're hearing behind my speaking, and not just the buzzing, is a bit of the soundtrack from the album. And the album is actually entitled Music from the Bridge, the soundtrack to the movie In Your Mind, and it's really a fantastic soundtrack. It's a really nice companion piece of the novel. I think if you've read the novel, the music will enhance your experience, and not necessarily that you should read the novel while listening to the album, because the album runtime is considerably shorter than how long it would take to read the novel. But having listened to the album after reading the book, it definitely reminded me of moments from the book that I really liked, stood out to me. The second track, entitled Big Dumb Bastard, is probably one of my favorite songs on the album. And as I listen to it, it makes me think of the opening scenes in the book where they're dumping the toxic waste off the bridge, and if it were a movie, that would be the song playing on the radio while they're doing it. So in that way, the soundtrack really works as, if you've read the book and you listen to it, it's like listening to a soundtrack to a lost, like, late 80s, early 90s horror movie that never existed. And if you, like I said, if you read the book, it kind of captures the emotion and the kind of, like I said, it's the perfect soundtrack to the book. And if it had been made into a film, and I really hope eventually The Bridge does become a film, because it's a fantastic work, and I think it would be an amazing film to see, this is the soundtrack I'd like to hear used for. It's spot on, very 80s, very very late 80s, early 90s, and some of its composition, especially the orchestral stuff, has a very keyboardy kind of sound to it, but it's very charming, and it's actually really captures the emotions and the feelings of the book quite well. It's a bit sad that more authors who have musical talent don't try to do something like this, you know, compose a soundtrack to their novels, just to give the readers an idea of what they were trying to evoke, or the type of music they think would go with the music, or with the story, sorry. But, yeah, I figured I enjoyed the novel a lot, I liked the music a lot, and when I was coming up with segments for the show, I thought, you know what, I have all these soundtracks on my iPod and on my computer. Wouldn't it be cool to do a soundtrack spotlight? Something where I could share some interesting soundtracks that I've found with you, the listeners, and give you guys a chance to listen to a little bit of it, and where you can find it for yourself if you'd like a copy of it. And I expect that some of you probably won't enjoy every soundtrack I post, or every soundtrack I do for this Spotlight segment. And that's fine. It's something that I've found, that these are soundtracks that there's something about them that I really enjoy, and in some cases they're for movies I've never seen. And I just enjoy the music. So, in this case, Skip Inspector's The Music from The Bridge. It's absolutely fantastic. Check it out on YouTube if you like it. If you're savvy, you can download it from YouTube with some specialized tools and things, and you could be super cool like me and have it on your iPod. So that's it for the soundtrack spotlight. And up next we'll do It Came From YouTube. Or fuck. Not It Came From YouTube. It Came From the Instant Queue.
Am I the only one here?
No, sir, I'm also here.
I'm not too late, am I?
You hear about Fryer, New Hampshire, that old road. What you're asking for, there are certainly those who would prefer you didn't have it.
Today's all about packing up and shipping out. We'd like to make as much ground as we can before dark.
According to this, the trailhead's right here.
There's no trailhead.
But there is a trailhead.
You've seen it?
There's even a marker. It says Yellow Brick Road.
Does all this scare you?
In the good way.
If you live in town long enough, you know, oh God, the real reason they walked.
I have some questions about the numbers for getting home.
Look at the pages, Teddy. The land is like liquid.
We don't know what's going on here. I'm scared, and we should leave.
These questions will kill us.
How do you feel?
I tested Jill first thing this morning. I asked her for her earliest childhood memory. She told me it was standing at the trailhead to Yellow Brick Road.
I'm losing time.
All right, and we are back, and it's time for It Came From the Instinct. This week, I decided to sit down and watch a movie. It's a Blade Disgusting Presents, or Blade Disgusting Selects, something like that. A film entitled Yellow Brick Road. It is available on Netflix, Instant Watch. And the synopsis, via IMDb, is in 1940, the entire population of Fryer, New Hampshire walked up a winding mountain trail, leaving everything behind. 2008, the first official expedition into the wilderness attempts to solve the mysteries of the lost citizens of Fryer. This film stars Cassidy Freeman as Aaron Luger, Anessa Ramsey as Melissa Barnes, Clark Freeman as Daryl Luger, Lee Wilcoff as Usher, Laura Heisler as Liv McCann, Michael Loreno as Teddy Barnes, Alec Draper as Walter Myrick, and Tara Giordano as Jill. Ugh. I fucking hated this movie. This movie was terrible. I sat and watched this last night because I knew I had to find something to do for It Came From the Instinct. Just looking through my instant queue, trying to decide what was I going to watch. So, as I sorted through my instant queue and looking for stuff to find and trying to find something that wasn't terribly long, because it was probably close to midnight by the time I sat down to watch this, I decided, well, Yellow Brick Road, I'll give it a shot. It's been on my queue since I saw it pop up, and my friend, actually Des's older brother, watched it, and he said he didn't like it. So I was like, well, you know, I'll give it a shot, because there have been movies that he's liked that I didn't like, and movies that he didn't like that I liked, and I want my hour and 40 minutes back of my goddamn time, okay? This movie was fucking terrible. So, the story itself, the film opens with some very cool just still photography and some recordings, quote-unquote, from the 1940s of the one survivor who came back from this town who walked off into woods on this quote-unquote Yellow Brick Road. And it's kind of creepy. And it really sets up what could be a really interesting movie. And then the movie actually gets started, and it's not at all interesting at all. It's fucking horrible. It's about this group of fucking idiots who decide they're going to go out, and they're going to go explore this Yellow Brick Road myth thing, and they go out into the woods. And it's essentially an hour and 40 minutes of people wandering around the woods doing fucking nothing. Nothing. There's one scene that I thought might have redeemed this whole movie, and it didn't. Alright, so basically, these idiots go out into the woods, or no, I'm sorry, they go, alright, I'll start with the first scene that annoyed me. We're introduced to our three of our main characters. I don't remember who's who, because I was paying attention to the movie, but it was so just aggravating that I don't remember any of the characters were, even though I just told you the names of the actors and such. They end up at this theater in the town of Fryer, and it's supposed to be where according to the GPS, it's where the trail starts. So they go in, and the lead guy, he talks to the ticket taker about, oh, well, where is this, you know, where's this Yellow Brick Road supposed to start? And the usher gets all, or the, I'm sorry, yeah, the man behind the ticket booth gets all uppity and cusses at him, and it was really strange. And then he sees Liv, the girl who works at the theater, behind a concession stand, and she gives him this weird look, and so she wanders off in the theater. He pays to go in to talk to her, and then she tells him that she'll take the group to where the Yellow Brick Road starts. So they wander out into the forest, and they get to this marker. It's a chunk of rock that has the word Yellow Brick Road scrawled in it, and there's graffiti and things on it. And thus begins our hour and 40-minute journey into boredom. Holy shit. I swear to God, nothing happens for nearly an hour and 40 fucking minutes. There's a couple of scenes, like, literally, the whole movie is them wandering around the forest, trying to figure out why these people went off on this road, or this path. And really, there's no real path. There doesn't seem to be a path, there's just fucking forest. And they start hearing music, and it's like 1940s style music, 1930s, 1940s, kind of that old-timey music, which was really kind of interesting. As they're just hearing this music, and they can't figure out where it's coming from, or if they're hallucinating. So they're going, and eventually two of the characters, I believe it's Aaron and Daryl, their brother and sister, they get into an argument about something stupid. Daryl finds this hat, and he's been wearing it the entire most of the time they've been wandering, and his sister gets pissed off at him about it. And so they have this huge fight, and spoiler alert, he murders her off in the field for no real apparent reason. And then he goes running off. And that's basically the only interesting thing that happens for the entire movie, is that people start going crazy for no real apparent reason. And then the leader of this group, they find this giant mound. It's like a giant hill of, like, tree branches and dirt. And I don't know what the hell it was. The leader of the group, he climbs to the top, and he sees over the top of this hill, this mound thing, what looks to be a actual yellow road type of thing. It looks like a field, but it's kind of yellow, and it's kind of like there's a road there. And so right then, I thought, oh, wow, this could be really cool now. This might be actually going someplace interesting. No, not at all. Their groups break up, and he decides to go off on his own, and he goes wandering off the rest of the way down the road. The psychologist friend who comes along sticks with the leader's girlfriend. The brother who went crazy is off somewhere in the woods. Somewhere. It was such a fucking stupid movie. I mean, this was really, it could have been so much better if they'd actually had a decent idea instead of, hey, let's just put these assholes out in the woods wandering around and then not explain anything. Because I know some people who probably listen to this are probably thinking, oh, well, maybe I just didn't get it. Let me clarify that I have nothing against movies that don't spell out everything for you. In fact, I prefer when a movie challenges me to make me think about what's going on in the movie. This movie didn't do that. This movie tested my patience is what it did, because for an hour and 40 minutes, I had to sit through horrible, just artsy fucking camera angles that were trying to make this thing look way more interesting than it was. And a boring story about a group of people in the forest who just wander around hearing random music and then going crazy for no real fucking apparent reason. And then the ending, holy shit. The ending was the worst. Because we've got all these characters that are broken off and they're doing their own thing. And our leader who's gone down the Yellow Brick Road, he eventually reaches something. I don't want to give it away because I know some of you might actually go out and watch this. But he reaches the end of this road, and it ends, and you're like, well, what the fuck was that? It doesn't answer anything. You've got this really great concept of, hey, this town of people in the 40s just got up and walked away out in the forest. And half of them were never seen again. A couple of them were found dead, and this one guy came back, a babbling lunatic. That's interesting. And I can kind of understand that, okay, well, some of the people the bodies that were found are the people from the town. That makes sense because we've seen that this other group of people goes crazy and kills people or kills some of the members of the group, so that makes sense. But why? There's no explanation. There's no explanation of what the music is or where it's coming from. There's no explanation of what's making these people crazy other than they're out in the woods for 5 fucking days. And there's no explanation of the ending. The ending makes no goddamn sense whatsoever. So, this is not a recommend at all. This is actually the first time I'm ever giving a movie 0 out of 5 stars. This movie was fucking terrible. I want my hour and 40 minutes back of my time. This movie pissed me off. I literally, the entire time I was sitting there watching this movie, I was just getting more and more angry because it made no sense and there was no explanation of anything going on, and it was just a complete and utter waste of my time. So, Yellow Brick Road fucking sucked. If you've seen it and you enjoyed it, please, please, please write in and explain to me what the fuck was going on in this movie. Because I don't know. All I know was I was watching an hour and 40 minutes of a group of people wandering around in the woods going crazy for no apparent reason. If you figured out, if you unraveled the mystery of this fucking movie and it makes sense to you, please write to me, tell me what it's about. I will happily read it on the air because I want to know what the fuck this movie was about. And if you, hell, if you can get a hold of the directors of this movie and have them come on the show, I would love to interview them to ask them about this fucking movie because I personally thought it was a piece of shit. So, 0 out of 5 stars, Yellow Brick Road, do not recommend, do not watch it unless you absolutely want to waste an hour and 40 minutes of your time. Or if you think that you can pull something out of this movie that I didn't. Like I said, if you figured this movie out and I didn't, please write to me, tell me, I will happily read it on the air and discuss it. So, enough of that bullshit, let's go on and get into our feature presentation.
And now our feature presentation.
Fed the dogs yet? How are things at school, kiddo?
What kind of cookie do you want?
I want a little man.
Scratch anything?
You'll see. This is our project. And it's a secret.
What are we gonna do with her?
We're gonna help her. We're gonna train her, civilize her, free her from herself, from her baser instincts.
Get the rope.
Everyone, keep your distance.
Are you sure you're not overextending?
Have you ever known me to let things get out of hand?
Do you really think we should be doing this? Do we really get to keep her?
We do.
All right, and here we go with our feature presentation for this week. It is the Lucky McKee directed, Jack Ketchum written film, The Woman. Some time ago, I posted an article over on Devour the Blog about this film. I was very excited to see it, and there was a video of a gentleman who saw it at a film festival who had a very negative reaction to the film, and we'll probably add in that audio a little bit here.
Still here watching the film.
Okay, well, let's get you
a number of people that also came out. One, it was so sick, she fell. We had to get paramedics.
I totally understand that, but at the same time...
This is not humane, this belonging.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's...
What
there,
value
We
is
give it? The discretion of the filmmakers. We tell you, hey, by the way, we're not rating these films. These are people who have decided to make these films.
I'd like to know who decided to have this shown here.
We don't have to tell you that. Let's talk about
let's
it.
Walk, though. Let's walk, though. Let's keep walking.
Who is this camera with? Who are you with?
I don't know who she's with, but let's start going this way. Thank you very much.
She's a respected film producer as well. Speaks highly of this. She's appalled that Sundance has done something like this. This bullshit.
But we need to get him out of the theater, though.
No, he's out of the theater. Okay.
I've been in a lot of films. I've been in about 40 films myself. I've seen a lot of films in my life. This is not art. This is bullshit. This is degradation of women in the absolute way. I'm speaking my mind here. You want to edit me? You know, I would say this film ought to be confiscated, burned. There's no value in showing this to anyone.
So, I was going into this film very excited, wanting to see it. I've been a fan of Jack Ketchum since I read The Girl Next Door, and I've enjoyed the film adaptation of The Girl Next Door. I've also read Jack Ketchum's Off Season, which is fantastic. And I've also read, which was also partially directed by Lucky McKee. Excellent, excellent film. Brian Cox does an amazing job in that film. And when The Woman was coming out, I was excited because I was expecting... I don't know really what I was expecting going into the film, but let me go ahead and synopsize really quickly before I get into my review of the film and a little bit of that. When a successful country lawyer captures and attempts to, quote-unquote, civilize the last remaining member of a violent clan that has roamed the northeast coast for decades, he puts the lives of his family in jeopardy. This film stars Angela Bettis as Belle Cleek, Sean Bridger as Chris Cleek, Lauren Ashley Carter as Peggy Cleek, Pollyanna McIntosh plays the woman, and Zach Brand plays Brian Cleek, the young son. This is, in a way, you could call this a sequel to Off Season, and it's also has a sequel entitled Offspring, which is made into a film I have not seen yet. But Off Season, as a little bit of a background, deals with a group of inbred cannibals who live in the northeast woods in, I believe, Maine, and they terrorize a woman who's living in a cabin, or staying in a cabin for the weekend, to work on a book she's editing. And all hell breaks loose. It's a very gory book, very awesome. I really enjoyed it. Have not read the sequel yet, but this seems to be an extension of that same story, that this woman who Mr. Cleek finds in the forest is one of these savages from that series. And I'm going to confess right now, I did not rewatch this film prior to doing this recording. I watched the film about a week ago, and this is something that's very rare for me, but this is one of those movies that I don't know if I can sit through again. At least not this soon. This was a very, very difficult movie to sit through. It very well done, excellently acted, excellently written, but it is a very, very heavy and dark movie. I want to say all of the actors involved, absolutely amazing. Angela Bettis, this was probably her best performance I've ever seen. Her performance in May, if you've seen May, you know she does a fantastic job in May. She brings May to life in a way that I don't think anyone else could have. And unfortunately, because of that, some of the other films I've seen her in, she's kind of still had that May vibe to her of just being the strange girl. And in this one, she is absolutely convincing as this very subjugated wife of Chris Cleek, Sean Bridger. And really, the movie is less about the woman, Pollyanna McIntosh's character, and more about the family, about the Cleeks themselves. Chris Cleek, who is the father, he's a lawyer, is a bastard. Right off the bat, within the first 10 minutes of the movie, you really have already got a really good handle on this guy is not a good person. He comes across as an asshole right away. But he's also very charming, which is very kind of unnerving about him. And Peggy, the oldest daughter, seems to be pregnant, possibly, very early along, and there's some implication that it might be an incestual pregnancy. It's never really fully explained or clarified, but it is it is implied to a degree. And this movie is very, very violent. Not just in physical violence, but in verbal and emotional violence. There's a scene that was released on, I believe Bloody Disgusting released it on their site sometime in the hype for this film. And it's a very short, very quick scene of Angela Bettis is in the bedroom and she starts to say something. This is shortly after Chris has brought home the woman and locked her in their outdoor cellar. And she starts to say something to him, and he walks up to her and he slaps her. And it's not one of those overdramatic Hollywood big slap across the face, knock her across the room type of thing. It's just a simple, just sort of a quick slap across the face. It's like, it's almost like what you would do if you were, you know, popping a child on the butt, almost. It's like that kind of level of, you know, non-force behind it. But it's the emotions behind it and the casualness that he hits her with that is what's scary and really disturbing about that moment, because she's trying to protest, or she seems like she's about to protest that he's taken this, you know, captured this woman, and he just slaps her, and he goes and lays in bed and says, let's go to bed, and then she just stands there in silence, and it was just breathtaking. It was a terrifying moment, and really genuinely a disturbing moment in the film. There is considerable violence done to Pollyanna McIntosh's character, the woman. That's mostly what you see in the trailer of the, you know, her being hosed down with a power sprayer and such, and being chained up in this basement thing. But a lot of the story is very much about the Cleek family and how fucked up they are. Chris is absolutely a monster. And I don't want to give away the ending of this film, and I don't want to give away too much about it, because I do highly recommend this film. If you have not seen it yet, I highly recommend you get your hands on a copy. If you enjoy Jack Ketchum's work, or if you enjoy really dark, really fucked up movies like this. I mean, this is a movie I would almost put on the level of Martyrs, of being a film that I've watched, and I can say that I've seen it, but it's not something I would necessarily want to sit back and watch anytime soon again. It is very, very hard to get through. And it's not necessarily because of the pacing or anything, because the pacing of the film is quite good. And aside from one moment I felt was a misstep, and that was towards the very end, there was a twist that was revealed that I thought was kind of out of the blue and really made no sense. The rest of the movie moves really, really well. It moves at a nice pace, and very much everything is about the Cleek family. You know, this woman is more or less just a catalyst to kind of give us a view of what this family is like, and it is absolutely horrifying. And this is honestly, I believe, one of the greatest strengths that Jack Ketchum has in the works of his that I've read, especially Girl Next Door. This is very reminiscent of Girl Next Door in that it's not, human beings are more terrifying than anything else, and that's a very vivid theme throughout this film. Chris Cleek is a monster. He's just a horrible human being, and he's verbally abusive to his family, and a little bit later we find out he's also physically abusive to his family. But one of the creepier parts about this is that it's his actions are very much, he very much focuses on making his wife and daughter do things around the house, whereas his son gets away with anything. And there's actually one moment where Belle actually confronts him about catching their son, Brian, I think he's molesting the woman or something like that. I don't remember exactly what happened, but she tells him, you know, you know what your son did, and he doesn't believe her. You know, he asks his son what happened, his son says he didn't do it, and he doesn't believe her. And you can see that the very clear line between the horrible things that Chris does, the father, and how that's being passed on to the son, and how his son seems to think that's completely okay. And it is really, really disturbing. So I would have to say that Lucky McKee and Jack Ketchum's The Woman is an absolute 5 out of 5. One of the best, most well-made horror films that I've seen in a long time. It's a very, very dark film. Like I said, if you don't like films that are very dark like this, or deal with very dark subject matter in a very serious manner. None of the violence in this film, whether it's verbal, physical, or any of that, none of it is played in an exploitative manner. It is very just matter of fact, here's what's happening. And really, the female characters in this movie are the ones who come out looking the best. As human beings, really, I mean, you feel bad for Belle, but at the same time, at the ending, when things go to hell, you can at least understand why what happens to her happens, because I don't want to say she necessarily deserves what she got, but in a way, she kind of did. But really, all the female characters in this film are very much the focus. They're the ones who come across as being the better people in this film, because the few male characters in this movie are just bastards. So, I highly recommend this. I find it very unfortunate that the gentleman who spoke out against this film in the video that you heard some of the audio from, he seems to have not understood the point of this movie, and I have to applaud Lucky McKee and Jack Ketchum for their work, because I don't know if I would necessarily call this a piece of feminist art. I know a lot of people say that the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series is a feminist work because, you know, Lisbeth goes off and does, you know, fights men or whatever, but that's not. That's just a horrible fucking movie, and it's another story in and of itself. But The Woman, I would say, it does portray very strong, a couple of very strong female characters in it, and it is very, very difficult to sit through if you're not good with handling, you know, physical or emotional violence in films. This is not the film for you. But if you can sit through it, and you can really just let yourself, get through the movie, I think you'll really enjoy it. So that's it. 5 out of 5 for The Woman. Highly, highly recommended. Go rent it at Blockbuster, Redbox, wherever you can get your hands on it. I know it's on Xbox Live. That's actually where I watched my copy. Highly recommended. I'm probably going to buy a copy and add to my collection when I get a chance. Well, that's the end of the show. Hope you enjoyed everything. And next week, for our feature presentation, I will be watching the direct-to-video sequel, Hostel 3. And no idea what I'm going to do yet for It Came From the Institute. I'll find something interesting. And in the coming weeks, possibly for episodes 4, 5, and 6, I will be watching Paranormal Activity 1, 2, and 3. So I will announce at the end of next week's episode, after I've reviewed Hostel 3, whether or not I'm actually going to start with Paranormal Activity, or if I found something else that I want to do for the future presentation for episode 4. But at the moment, I think I'll go ahead and do Paranormal Activity 1, and then episodes 5 and 6 will be 2 and 3. So thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. And remember to leave a comment over on the blog or on iTunes, subscribe through iTunes, and drop me an email if you'd like to get in contact with me. The contact info will be played very shortly after this is over. And I'll talk to you guys all next week. To contact Devour the Podcast, you can email us at cenobitedave@gmail.com. That's cenobitedave@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at D Delamorte, that's capital D, followed by DELLAMORTE. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/devourtheblog. Subscribe on iTunes, search for Devour the Blog, and visit the site devourtheblog.wordpress.com.